You know what? There's nothing like the smell of baking bread. It's wonderful, isn't it? Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for spending some of your day with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the art of making bread today to begin our show and how to use different types of flour as you bake that bread. Eric Kaiser, a chef, master baker, best-selling author. His new book is called simply The Bread Book, and it is a beautiful book. I'm really happy to have him with us to talk about it today. Would you like some tips for baking bread? Are you looking for a new bread maybe to try over the holidays? Those are a couple of questions. Think up your own and give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Eric Kaiser, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from France.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be with you. And I think if you try to do some bread or some viennoiserie or some pastry with your family, it's something fantastic because you can share with your kids or with your husband or with your wife, and it's beautiful.
It is. And the aromas in the home when you're baking bread are...
you don't need candle at this moment, huh? Because the aroma fantastic in all the house. Huh? And it's beautiful.
It is indeed. Well, in the book, the LaRousse Book of Bread, it helped lead the way for people to start appreciating what you call real bread. Talk about what that means.
No, it's mean because, you know, now when you buy bread, a lot of bread, people put preservative or improver inside. And we try to give the right line to do something very natural. We say very natural bread. In French, we have a law. And the law means that if you go to your baker and you buy an artisanal baguette, the baguette need to bake and to mixing in the place. So you go to your bakery and you are sure that the bread is making in the place, is not frozen. And the people, what they want now is to have very, very natural product. And the bread is so simple. You normally use few ingredients. We say flour, water, salt, yeast or leaven, sourdough. And after you can put some other ingredients, walnuts, nuts, etc. And after you do something fantastic, but you do that with your hand and your brain.
Yeah.
This is why we say that when we mix the dough with the hand, we give power inside. And after you are more powerful, it's energy.
Well, Jill says she keeps trying to brush the flower off your book, and the cover of your book is so beautiful, and there's a little flower sprinkled across this wonderful bread. Yeah. And the photos are beautiful photos. So let's just talk about them for a minute, because they're beautiful and helpful as well. The look of the book must have been really important to you.
I think the most important is if some people take the book and open a page and decide to do, for example, baguette or croissant, you need to do with the recipe. So I am a guide, and the people, it need to be very simple, because the people need to realize in the house. So simple product, easy ingredient to find. But natural ingredient is the most important in the way. This is what I try to do when I start this book, with beautiful picture, beautiful writing, easy writing, we can say, and people can realize.
Yeah, it's wonderful. There are a lot of flours, and as you say, flours kind of starts. A good bread starts with a good flour. Wheat flour is probably the most common, but there are so many flours made with wheat. What are the main types used for bread?
Usually we take the natural wheat and we take a part of this wheat to do the bread. But for example, at this moment, what is very, very trendy, we can say, is a small spelt, for example. We say in French, petit épeautre, small spelt. Or we have flour of lentille. Or we have rice flour to do the bread with no gluten and gluten free. And it's beautiful because with all this type of, can say not flour but cereal, we can do something fantastic and healthy for the life.
What are some of your? Let's talk for a minute about gluten free flours. What are some of your favorites? Is it the rice flour?
I think rice or. Oh, we use a lot of buckwheat flour. It's fantastic to do the gluten-free bread. And we can keep, we have the corn. Corn is fantastic too, because the corn has a lot of different flavors. And it's beautiful if you have a good recipe. And this is what we put in the bread, in the recipe on the book. Oh, you have something fantastic. We forgot to use. But they use a lot in different countries in the south of, in the beginning of Africa, is the chickpeas. And
chickpeas.
It's beautiful. You can do chickpea, you can do something fantastic because the flavor is fantastic.
Well, so what makes up the role of gluten in these breads?
You know, usually when we're starting to do a bread, the gluten was a little smaller. So we have a small part of gluten in the flour. It was 30 years ago. And after, we have the wheat stronger and stronger and stronger with the gluten. So I think for me, if you use flour, very natural flour, and you don't add gluten more, you can do something fantastic for the healthy. But if you start to take high gluten, high quantity of gluten, and you put more preservative and all of that, You disturb your stomach and you disturb all. So it's a part of quantity of gluten that we need to use. Don't put too much or don't use too much flour with a lot of gluten.
And flour is, you know, you go to the store to buy flour, and I guess I've never looked at the dates on the bag. How do you know you're getting a good fresh flour?
I mean, it's brought, very natural flour, organic flour. You can use, for example, whole wheat flour. Whole wheat flour is good too, but you need to take organic. If not, you have a lot of preservative on the top of the flour. This is damage for the body, I think. So usually in France, we have a name is Agriculture Contrôlée Raisonnée. It means very, very natural flour. And you can find that in US, or you can find organic flour. It's easy, huh?
And well, here we're talking kind of about the ingredients. Water is one that you mentioned. I mean, water is an ingredient in a way. Is there a certain type of water that's better than another? Can I take it right out of my tap?
I think it's difficult. So because if you start to use mineral water, it would be crazy for the planet. So I think tap water, this is what we use in bakery, is okay, because in every house you have good water usually. We have a name in US, is named integrated farming. You know that for the flowers?
Integrated what?
Farming. Farming?
Oh,
farming?
Yes. Oh, integrated farming. Yes, yes.
Yes. I think it's something that you can find easily in the supermarket to do bread.
And you recommend unrefined salt, which I hadn't considered. What is unrefined? Well, it's salt that's not refined.
Yeah, you're right. When you find a big salt, is much better because it's more you have more iod inside. So it's better. Yeah, usually this is what we use in France for the bread. For this loaf of big bread, you know, we put a beautiful salt from some part of France, and Garonne, for example, and it's beautiful.
We have... So, go ahead.
Yes. No, I think when you try to find, for example, the sea salt, and you have the right flour, and you have the beautiful sourdough, if you can find or if you can do your sourdough by yourself, it's fantastic to do something very good. But for sure, you need to find the right ingredient to do something beautiful. It's similar if you take a chicken, you need to find organic chicken or some beautiful chicken from a farm to do something good. It's the same for the bread.
Grant emailed us a question. He's been baking many types of breads, and he uses the bassinage method. Can you describe the method, describe its benefits, and whether you've used this method?
You spoke about bassinage?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Bassinage is when you put water, when you mix the dough, you start with, for example, 70% of the flour. For example, you have 1 pound or 1 kilo of flour, and you put 70% of water. And when you do bassinage, it means that you start with 65% of the water, and after you add the 5% when you mix the dough every 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And after the gluten is more extensive, we say elastic, and it's much better, and you have a better bread. The very important thing is to put a lot of water inside your dough. This is very important to have a good bread. So more water you put, more the quality will be good. But you know, we say in France that the baker is an alchemist. It means that you take some ingredient and you adjust with the temperature of the water, temperature of the flour, temperature of the room, quantity of yeast, quantity of sourdough, and after you do something fantastic. But you need to adjust. You need to try. You need to do a lot, and after you understand. You need to live with your bread, with your dough.
Matt emailed us. He agrees with you on the additives, particularly our tartaric acid, which causes migraines for him. He's unable to eat many commercial breads because of that additive. Also, a great flavor he's found to add to bread is black cumin from Somalia.
Yes.
It has a subtle flavor that very complementary to bread.
Yeah. And yes, he's right. And you can use too the sesame, and you can put in the oven before to use in the dough. You know the sesame?
Mm-hmm. Sesame, yeah.
Yeah, you put in the oven before to use, and you put a little oil on the top, and after you burn a little in the oven, and after you can add in your dough, and it's beautiful too.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Eric Kaiser, our guest today, chef, master baker, best-selling author, and his new book is called The Bread Book. It's a beautiful book. Questions for him? I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. You can email, as others have, at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, or give us a call. The number, love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us again, the email address ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau is our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. We're talking about making bread on the program today with our guest, Eric Kaiser. Talking to us from France. He's a chef, master baker, best-selling author, and his new book is titled simply The Bread Book, and it is a lovely, lovely book. I hope you'll join in with your own questions. What do you want to know about bread baking? Have you had some problems or some great experiences? Give a call at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And Eric, I love how you have your book organized. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 different areas. You've got a wonderful introduction, then classic breads.
Yeah.
Let's see, breads with the heritage grains.
Yes.
Breads of the world, stuffed loaves, and brioches.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful program for the you can do for breakfast, lunch, tea time, and dinner.
Well, I tell you what, I saw your recipe for casserole bread, and I just got a new heavy Dutch oven as a gift, and so the first thing I'm going to do with that Dutch oven is make that casserole bread.
Casserole bread, I love that, yes. It was a beautiful and great experience for me to do this bread. So it means that you're starting to mix your dough with your hand or with your mixer, and after you're waiting 2 hours for fermentation, and after you start to do a beautiful bowl with your hand, and after you put oil in the casserole, and after you put your dough, and she starts to poof, 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 poof. And after, when she takes a double time, you put in the oven, and you bake in the oven. It's beautiful, similar to a chicken. And you put the cover, how you say, cover. And after, you bake your dough inside. And when you finish, after 40 minutes, 50 minutes, you take your cover out and you take out your bread, and it smells so fantastic and it's so nice. And you don't know if it's bread or if it's brioche, because the method that we use for baking is fantastic. And you put a little olive oil on the side of the casserole and it's beautiful. I promise it's a beautiful experience if somebody wants to try.
Well, I'm going to try it for sure.
Casserole bread.
Casserole bread. You know, there's another one. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to just go off topic for a second, because on my blog, I just posted a recipe for a drink. It's a toasted fig leaf French soda that Aaron yes. Presley brought from Olbrich Gardens. For me to taste last week, Friday, I think, or maybe 2 weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. And it is so good. And I begged her for the recipe. And it's the toasted leaves, the fig leaves. There's a simple syrup. There's some infused cream and a sparkling water. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. And I posted a blog today, so... WPR.org/Larry. If you go to online to that, you will see the entire recipe. It's not that hard to make, but it is lovely if you have fig leaves. And you actually have a fig, hazelnut, and fennel
yes.
bread recipe.
Yeah, I love that. Because, you know, sometimes when you have the right dough and you add some ingredient inside, you do something beautiful and different. For example, we use matcha, you know, the tea, the green tea.
Yeah.
And we add inside the dough, and suddenly the dough is with different color. The flavors are fantastic. And you change the face of the bread. And if you have a little more curious, you can put orange inside. So you have green tea, matcha tea. And after you have the white dough, and you put orange inside, and it's suddenly, it's beautiful. And this is what I love with the bread. We can add figs, we can add walnut, we can add, last time I was in Morocco and I do the date, how you say that?
Date. Yeah.
Yes, it was so beautiful, so good, this bread. It was incredible. So sometimes you are very happy just with a small part of the bread, and you eat and you're happy.
Well, I'll tell you what, that fig, hazelnut, and fennel bread recipe, maybe along with that toasted fig leaf French soda.
yeah, it would be good. Always good wine, too. Huh?
I had a good wine. Yeah, or a good wine.
No, red wine is okay. Or champagne. Yeah? You know, in Japan, they take some piece of bread and they eat with the champagne all the time in a bar, and they are happy with that.
Oh!
It's nice.
They use it for like a dip?
Yes, or some French in the country, they take a piece of bread and they put inside the wine, the red wine, and after they eat. It's country people, they like that in France.
Well, I haven't done that.
You
but
need to try.
I will. I will for sure. Oh, one thing I noticed in one of your directions, you say as a baker, you shouldn't touch the salt with your hands.
Yes.
What happens if you know, what happens if you do?
If you touch the salt?
Yeah.
Yeah, because normally we cannot, we take care. In a part of the flour, we put the salt. In another part of the flour, we put the yeast. We try to don't mix together at the same time because the salt starting to kill the sourdough or the yeast, natural yeast. This is why we try to explain to the people that we cannot mix in the same time. We separate. It's similar to two kids. When they're starting to fight, we separate. It's the same. And you know, last year I do another book with the kids, and I take a kids. They was from 5 years to 12 years for a week to do the recipe of this book. And it was a fantastic experience with this kids. Huh? They were so happy to realize all this recipe. So if you don't know what you can do with your kids for holidays or for Sunday, Saturday, you can do or realize some recipe of this book.
I think that's a great idea. I love that idea. I baked some bread with a young friend not that long ago, and it was really a great experience for us to do it together and baked a couple of loaves, and it's fun. Well, you do use a dough hook.
To do
a dough hook.
Dough hook.
Yeah.
What's a dough hook?
When you're mixing, you use it's all right to use that?
I use the sourdough, you mean?
You know, on your mixer, when you put your mixer.
Usually for this recipe, I use the mixer or I use my hand.
Yeah.
It's depending how is my energy. If I have a lot of energy, I love to mix with my hand because I think this is what say all the time my grandmother, when you mix with your hand, you put energy inside the bread. So you put a little of your power inside your dough. So it means that it's very good when you eat for your brain. But you can use a mixer for sure.
All right. So
it's more easy.
And in terms of baking, I was talking with somebody about baking cookies, and she said, you know, when you're following those directions, follow the directions. And if it calls for a specific weight, she thinks it's actually using a scale is better than simply using, a half cup or whatever. And I see in your recipes that you give us all of the ways. But I think you like weighing better than anything else when it comes to the ingredients.
I think if you don't know exactly to do this job of baker, it's better to take a scale and to take care of a part of your ingredient. When you have a know-how, after I think perhaps you don't need so much to take care of all the quantity of the ingredient. But at the beginning, it's very important.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me for sure. So the bread hook is okay on the mixer. And what about baking? You know, we in Wisconsin just are in the process of getting about 3 inches of snow, and I'm sure that homes are a little cooler. Will be a little bit cooler now as we go through winter. If you're baking in a cool room, I mean, can you use a warm oven to help the dough rise?
You're right. Now it's a winter. Usually what we take care of the temperature of the flour, temperature of the room, and temperature you have. Okay, for example, if we give one temperature, we take care to keep all the time the room at 22, 21 degrees. In Celsius, it's mean 65, I think.
65, yeah.
Yes. So if you keep all the time this temperature, and you keep the flour in the same room, you all the time be right. You don't need to adjust your oven. It's better that you adjust your room temperature and the temperature of the flour. More easy for you.
Okay.
Because if you start to play with the oven and all is difficult after.
Johnny.
After you need to be a magician.
John emailed us. He's been trying to replicate a whole grain type of bread he got from Switzerland 30 years ago. It was open and airy and also very tough and chewy. The closest thing he's found to its consistency is what's called Italian bread, but that's a tasteless kind of white flour bread, not the whole grain type that he found. He would like to make this in a bread machine. Have you ever made a bread in a bread machine?
I never do, me, because it's difficult to give a long time of fermentation if you use a bread machine. So usually you mix and after you keep the dough for a little time and after you bake. But me, what I like when I realize a recipe at home is to do something very good for my family. So it means that I need a long fermentation. So I mix the dough, for example, the day before, and after I keep for 2 hours outside the dough, and after I put in the fridge for overnight, and after I take again the dough and I start to mold the dough to give the right shape of the dough, and after, again, 2 or 3 hours waiting for fermentation, second fermentation, and after I put in the oven, and the bread start to be something beautiful.
Yeah.
You need time to do something good. If you don't take time, if you do all with your machine, you don't have a right bread, and it's not so good.
Okay.
Perhaps it's better sometimes to go to buy in a bakery.
So
if you do, for your family, you need to do something good.
So for John, he's trying to make this this bread recipe or this bread that that he found in Switzerland a long time ago. It's a whole grain type of bread. How does he get it open and airy and at the same time very chewy? Tough and chewy, yeah. He says.
Yeah. Chewy is good for you?
Yeah, he likes it chewy.
Yeah, it's depending because you can have a chewy bread when you take this Italian bread, for example, ciabatta, and you put a lot of water inside. So it means that usually the bread is 65-70% of water inside the dough. And sometimes when you do some Italian or Spanish bread, you can put 80% of water. And after the dough is very chewy and it's very good. So you know, you just need to find the time of the fermentation between the quantity of water that you put inside the dough. But for sure, you can do something fantastic.
I would certainly agree with you on that. You know, I do like your, just thinking about this a bit, I do like the troubleshooting descriptions that you have in your book. Because often when we have shows about baking, people call and they say, well, I tried this, you know, I tried to make this recipe and here's what happened to the, you know, the final product. And what did I do wrong? And you have what's called troubleshooting in your book. I'm just looking at it right now. Is the dough too sticky? What are the reasons? Is the crumb too compact? What are the reasons for that? I think it was on page 40 of your book. Does the bread lack volume? And then there's for volume, there's like 8 or 10 different reasons why that might have occurred. Did the scoring pattern not hold? Is the crust on the bread soft? Is the underside of the bread burned? So you've got, I love those troubleshooting tips, because that would be the first page I'd go to if I got a bread, you know, if I baked a bread and it didn't turn out the way I wanted.
Yeah, we try to explain to the people, because you're right. All the time the people try to realize a bread, a recipe bread in at home, and they have some, and they do some mistakes. This is a normal way, because usually you need to do a lot before understanding. So I think if you do a lot, if you try a lot, and after you understand your mistake, you are fantastic. For example, if you put too much water inside the dough, it's very dangerous, because if you don't give enough fermentation, after when you put your oven inside the oven, you put your bread inside the oven, the dough go down. But normally she needs to go up. But you don't use the right recipe. You put too much water and not enough fermentation. Or for example, if you take ancient green, you cannot put so many water, because the ancient green, they don't have too much gluten inside. So the resistance is not enough strong. So this is why you all the time need to adjust your recipe. And this is why at the beginning of the book, we try to explain to the people what will be the result if, for example, the bread is done, or if the bread is too strong, or if the bread is too chewy. We try to explain the trick to the people.
Well, you've got some great ones in here. Barbara emailed us. She wants to know, what's a sourdough starter, and why has she heard people ordering it? Is it difficult to make a sourdough starter and sourdough bread?
She asked the right question, because sourdough is the beginning of the fermentation of the bread. Sourdough is the yeast of the bread, we say. And it's very difficult not to realize the sourdough, but to take care of the sourdough. It's similar that when you take care of kids, it's all the time very, very difficult. So sourdough, you need to refresh often, every day or every 2 days or every 3 days. You need to mix again with flour and water. And after, you need to give fermentation, right time of fermentation. And after, you need to put in the fridge. This is very, very interesting and difficult to understand. But when you have the know-how to take care of your sourdough, you realize a fantastic recipe. So all the time is something that you need to learn. And to learn, you need to try. It's beautiful to do a sourdough. So you can do sourdough with wheat. You can start your sourdough with whole wheat. You can do your sourdough with rye flour. You can do sourdough with a lot of things. The most important is to have the right sourdough.
Well, I had a starter in my refrigerator for a long, long time. Yes, and then I went away on vacation, and when I came home, I found that my refrigerator had broken.
Oh, my God. Oh, you put out the garbage?
Everything went into the I opened the refrigerator door, and I almost passed out from the smell, because it had been a few days in the summer.
And so you were sad, no? I'm sure you were sad.
I had to start over. I had to start over again with a new refrigerator
and with a new sourdough
for sure. Do you have ideas? What Anne wonders? Can you what can be added to bread to make it high fiber other than just whole wheat? For example, seeds or other ingredients.
Yes, she right. For example, you have the rye flour, so the rye bread has a lot of fiber inside, and all the greens that you find, if you take the tea, we say the number of the, so it's kind of fiber that you take inside the green. So rye or wheat or buckwheat, you can find a lot of fiber.
Very good. So buckwheat, yeah, and buckwheat, we have plenty of buckwheat around here.
There's yeah. Buckwheat is fantastic for healthy. Huh? It's good for the...
What is your favorite bread in this book?
It's depending the time of the day. It's depending the season. But I can say I love the baguette. I love the bread with the matcha tea time and the orange. I love the walnut. I love the bread with the baking in the casserole bread. I love that. I love the ciabatta. I love the brioche. When we spoke about the brioche, it's a dough of bread, but inside we add butter, we add eggs, we add sugar. So we put the right ingredient to have something very good too. This is la brioche, we say in French, la brioche.
How's your book doing, by the way?
The book is fantastic because it's coming in French and now in Spanish. And now in American. And,
English.
English. I think it will be good.
Well, it is a wonderful book that you've written. And I'm hanging on to it. And I'm going to make that bread, that casserole bread. That'll be the first one. And it's simple, too. It's like only, there's a little bit of time during the day. But the prep time in that is like 20 minutes. It's nothing.
No, it's nothing, and it's beautiful if you take care of the recipe. Huh?
I will follow it, and I will. Maybe I'll shoot you an email and let you know how it turs out, Eric.
You can send me your picture. Send me the picture of the bread to all your auditor.
I will, and I'll post it on my blog, along with the toasted fig leaf French soda that I made. Thanks so much, Eric. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much to receive me.
The Bread Book is written by our guest today, a lovely man, and it's a lovely book. Eric Kaiser is the author, and the title again, The Bread Book. And it was great to be able to talk to him directly via Google Meet from France. So we traveled to France to begin the show today, and now we are traveling a little closer, but still a little travel from our Madison offices. We're shooting right up to Door County, and we're going to talk with some folks from The Clearing. That next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're going to like this next segment for sure, because we're going to be talking about some classes that maybe you want to take. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.